Welcome to Church Online today. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. As we journey in Lent, we light this candle and our candles together. It's a visible reminder of Christ's love for us and God's love for us and the world, and remembering new beginnings and new opportunities. In the world of pre-recording, sometimes timing means we're not able to share after an event, even though we're gathering together after. But on Friday night, the Adelaide West Youth hosted the world's greatest shave, with two of our youth shaving their heads and several colouring their hair, including one of our grandmas, raising funds for the important work of the Leukemia Foundation. And we'll share some photos of that next week. If you'd like to donate to this worthy cause, go to World's Greatest Shave, click on Donate, sponsor a team, and look for Adelaide West Uniting Church Youth. As we mentioned last week, Adelaide West is seeking people with a heart for God's mission to be a part of the church staff team here. Applications are due on the 16th, and details can be found on the Uniting Church SA website. And join us in prayer for this. Today we have the Reverend Dr. Phil Carr sharing the message with us, and we look forward to that. We worship. Our souls sing together, our Saviour God to thee, how great thou art, how great God is.
I
The Bible reading today comes from John 3, where a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night to ask some questions. And this reading is part of the response from Jesus. Verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, friends. Imagine you feel called to a profession, the law, the sciences, the arts, agriculture, engineering. Here's a question. Do you suppose you would achieve a level of excellence in that profession by just attending a one-hour teaching session of sorts each week and little else? And yet, that's often the level of commitment that many of us make to our profession of faith, to our calling as followers of Jesus. We come together for worship and a coffee once a week, and apart from that, well. The reading today from the Gospel of John was part of a conversation between Jesus and a high-profile Pharisee, Nicodemus. The bottom line to that encounter really does encourage us to take our faith more seriously by moving closer and closer to the Christ all the time, not just for an hour a week. For we become who we truly are, who we're meant to be, as we search for God. Now, when some people come across the word Pharisee, they commonly think of a person smug in their religiosity, who believe that they are better than everybody else in every conceivable way. To whatever extent this characterized the Pharisees, Nicodemus was anything but. He was a good man. People revered him, venerated him for his understanding of religion, honored him for his charity to those who were up against it. He was the tall poppy in Israel who no one wanted to chop down. In Nicodemus, we all have someone that we'd find easy to hold in the highest regard. He's like a first century Barack or Michelle Obama, a David Attenborough or Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. His coming to Jesus that night is, well, so revealing. For he came not as a man with all the answers and with a faith so neatly sewn up, rather as a searcher, as someone seeking even deeper intimacy with God. Nicodemus was like a conservative person of deep theological conviction, and yet simultaneously a progressive person of faith, looking for more awareness of God. He had the traditional answers, and yet he knew that there was more light and love to be immersed in, more goodness and mercy in God, the source of all life. Nicodemus, to me, seems to fit a sensible definition of a Christian, someone who honours the insights of the ages and yet thirsts for more and more of who and what God is and requires. Nicodemus is, if you like, the conservative, progressive child of God. Now, thinking this way about Nicodemus helps us appreciate and value the restless mind of some Christians who want more today than what's been served up to them throughout their life. They need fresh expressions of faith to keep their experience of love for God and life vital and crucial. So after dark one evening, this spiritual thirst got the better of Nicodemus and he went searching. Now, plenty of people assume that he walked at night under cover of darkness because he didn't want anyone to know that he was consulting an unlicensed rabbi. But his real motivation was to address his thirst. He wanted to be closer to God. From my own life, I know that during the long hours of the night, there can grow this tremendous thirst for God. And I can appreciate something of Nicodemus' ache for grace, why he sought to allay that thirst by seeking the source. I mean, this experience that Nicodemus had is nothing new. The Taizé community in France today has a song about this. The words from the Spanish, "From night we will go, from the night in order to find the source. Only the light gives us the answers." In conversation with that rabbi, significant topics were mentioned by Jesus, but there was one theme that never appears elsewhere in Scripture: the need to be born again. Now, the expression "being born again" is used even today in parts of the church. People can be asked, "Are you a born again Christian?" or "Have you been born again?" At the same time, in other circles, this expression about being born again has devolved into jest. It's taken as ludicrous, much like that very first reaction Nicodemus had about returning to his mother's womb. But the thing to notice here is that Jesus was telling this learned, conservative, yet progressive man of faith exactly that. "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And it just seems to me that if it applies to him, then it must have significance to all of us, whether we're conservative or progressive. And the way to manage this is to understand that the Greek text can equally be read "born from above," because you see, in Greek, it's the same word for above and again. So now the question becomes, what might it mean to be born from above? Now think about it. In human birth, we inherit our parents' genetic DNA. But to be born from above is to be imbued with the DNA of God. Being born from above is to be filled with love. I mean, we only have to consider Jesus' peaceful, open-handed, truth-telling, poor-providing, illness-healing, justice-giving to see that divine DNA in action. You see, when love becomes the principal part of our personality, we are like the Christ, and we'll bring affection into every encounter we have with each other when we enter a room or go on Zoom. And our sole desire will be to love the hell out of people. When grace melds divine DNA to our physical DNA, we are, as Paul wrote, new creatures in Christ. When I think about this expression of love, two people come immediately to mind. Michael Curry, who you may remember, married Harry and Meghan, and Desmond Tutu. Both of those souls, Michael and Desmond, are extraordinarily loving. They are constantly, always affectionate and generous. To be in their company, you sense immediately that you're loved for just who you are. Beloved, there perhaps has never been a time in history for the people of God to be urgently expressing this presence of God who is pure, simple love. And as many young people find no relevance in religion, and as many others have simply lost trust in all institutions, including the church, living a life of generous love, I think, is our most urgent calling. That means connecting with God just once a Sunday for worship and a coffee is never going to achieve this. Living a loving life comes from nothing else than continual thirsting for God, like Nicodemus. For we become who we truly are, who we're meant to be, only when we search for God. For the more time we give each and every day to searching for God, to satisfy this desire, this thirst to be immersed in the grace and goodness of God, the more loving we'll be. Believe me when I say that these past months I've suffered a fair bit, and there's not much to the old Phil anymore. But there is now, I hope, someone for as long as God grants them life, will love more generously than I ever have before. Like Nicodemus, I seek each day now the source with greater intensity than ever before. And I'm finding new ways to express this love to my wife, Pam, to my family, to whoever I'm with. For I now know that we become who we truly are, who we're meant to be, when we search for God. And so, if I can love as I pass this way, then I'll know that my living has not been in vain. And that, dear friends, is the good news. And now a prayer. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we bring before you those never far from your heart and also at the forefront of our minds and hearts at this time. We pray for all those who are far from home, who have been displaced due to conflict, who are longing for a place to call home, who are ignored by international regulations and left out of decisions that affect them. May those who are often overlooked be ignored no more, and may they be carried by grace and love divine. We pray for peace in Myanmar, for the people of Indonesia following the school bus crash, and for all the other places that are on our hearts today, and for all those struggling with COVID-19, dying alone, tending the sick, grieving the lost. We pray for all those who are struggling close to home, who've been unsettled by a change of circumstances, who are wandering in a desert of insecurity, who are longing for a job, good health, or companionship, who feel overlooked by the rapid pace of life. May those who are often overlooked be ignored no more. We pray for all those who are struggling financially, who the economic system is stacked against, who are wading through a deluge of debt, who are finding it hard to make ends meet, who are excluded due to unfair trade. May every table of injustice be overturned, we pray, and may they be carried by grace and love divine. Lord God, we also give you our offerings today. We give in grateful thanksgiving for all that you have given us, for all your love for the world. In the upside down world of the gospel, we measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we can give away. And so we give away generously today in this offering to bless your church, your people, your creation, and your world, and so that your kingdom will come. We offer our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, God's righteousness revealed, the Son of the Son of God, his kingdom come. Jesus, redemption sacrifice, now glorified, now justified, his kingdom comes. And this kingdom, Jesus. now justified, his kingdom comes. And this kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bounds. For the majesty and power of this kingdom's king has come, and this kingdom's reign, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed.
We hope this service has brought you hope and love in your lives today. If you would like prayer, ring or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. We'd love to pray with you. Thank you for being a part of this service, and we look forward to meeting together next week online and in person. In our hearts, nothing less than love will carry the day and carry the gospel. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and tomorrow and every day. Amen. Blessings on your week.